What's up, America?
Blog Talk Radio.
All right, I'm going to throw you guys off again. Here we go.
Oh,
going
back
to WrestleMania, baby. WrestleMania on Sunday.
Your time is up, my time is now. You can't see me, my time is now. It's a franchise where I'm shining now. You can't see me, my time is now.
In case you forgot or fell off.
Time is now. I'll try to fade it out pretty smoothly, but that, you know, it's all good. Of course, you are officially talking sports with the 12 men on this special Wednesday night edition. Of course, today, this month is flying by March the 25th, and you are, as I said, talking sports with the 12 men. Let's introduce the crew. I am Andre Peterson, as always. I want to check in with my co-host. Let's kind of start off and check in. Mr. JQ, Jay Quinn, how are you doing this evening, sir?
I'm good. Fabulous. Great to be here. Thank you for having me. What's going on, America?
I love it. Not to be outside, I'm giving it up to T-Rob. T-Rob, Mr. Robert, how are you doing today, sir?
Man, doing great. Couldn't be better. Ready to talk some sports. We got a lot going on. Sweet 16, NFL, NFL draft, NBA. Let's make it do what it do.
Let's have some fun, man. I love how Rob puts all these topics together, man. Hopefully we have enough time to cover them. As we always like to do, we always like to invite you guys to listen to the show. If you ever want to call into the show, the number is always, it's 424-243-9519, 424-243-9519. We're also in on Facebook. If you go to facebook.com, put in /12ManSports, or if you put in Talking Sports 12Man, you'll find us. And that's where we post a lot of fun things, what's been happening. Good job, everyone, as far as keeping us in the loop. And then finally, we're on Twitter. If you go to the number 12, THMAN Sports, that's our Twitter handle as always. But as Rob said, as JQ said, man, we got a lot of things to go over, man. Let's kind of jump into it. NCAA is always top of mind here. We're getting ready for tournament games starting tomorrow. So let's kick it off. A little Sweet 16 preview. Guys, I don't know, are your brackets saved or not, man? Villanova, man, a lot of things have been going down. Baylor, man. It's just been a crazy week. Of course, we picked that too. But let's do a quick little preview. I'm going to start with Rob. Yeah, Virginia going down. I mean, my bracket is pretty much messed up. But Rob Ford, I know you want to talk about that. Now I'll throw it to you, JQ, after this. But Rob, what about a quick Sweet 16 preview with everything that's going down?
Well, obviously, you know, you still like Kentucky here. I mean, at least from my vantage point. I'm looking forward to the matchup. If everything holds its form, Arizona and Wisconsin in the West region, I think that's going to be a fantastic matchup in the Elite Eight if it holds form, even though I like to see my Tar Heels upset Wisconsin, but I don't see it happening. But I think that Arizona is the one team, in my opinion, in this tournament that has an outside chance of beating Kentucky. So I'm still kind of, you know, would like to see them advance over Wisconsin and see that Final Four matchup of Arizona and and Kentucky in the Final Four. And then when you look at the region with the upsets, with Villanova and Virginia both being eliminated in the East bracket, so that bracket is now wide open. I can even see where NC State could possibly make it to the Final Four as an 8 seed out of that bracket. I'm surprised Louisville is still standing. I mean, I said this on our show last week. Going into the tournament, they were struggling without Chris Jones. They squeaked by UC Irvine by 2 points, and they got a big win this past weekend. So we'll see what happens with that matchup with Louisville and Louisville against NC State. And then Wichita State and Notre Dame, I think that's going to be a very good matchup, and I can even see Wichita State pulling off another upset here. But I still like Duke overall in that region. So I think the one that's we're going to have a surprise team in the Final Four, of course, coming out of the East bracket, Oklahoma, Michigan State, Louisville, NC State. It's kind of hard for me to pick that team who's going to come out of that bracket.
JQ, what you got, sir?
Yeah, as I was texting with you guys about it, the Big 12 failure in that first weekend was epic, and I now use that as a rule to never take too many Big 12 teams to advance too far.
They call themselves a Big 12, but they only have 10 teams in the league.
Right, yeah, they can't count, but that's most of them now. But to touch on your point, the team that I look for in that East region with all the upsets, and I kick myself for not seeing it, is Michigan State, because every time you let Tom Izzo get into the dance, he just works magic. And they find a way to get to the Sweet 16. They find a way to get to the Elite Eight, the Final Four. So I had picked Virginia, but I'm going to go with Michigan State coming out of that bracket because, it happens too many times. It's like history repeating itself. In the other region, in the Midwest, I actually did have Wichita State pulling these upsets and beating Kentucky in the Elite Eight. So I'm looking forward to that. But West Virginia today saying that Kentucky was going to be 36-1 after they played them. I don't know if you want to, poke that sleeping bear. You might want to let them be and just try to sneak up on them. So that added a lot more juice to that game that I don't think was there from the beginning. And moving over down to the West, I like the UNC Wisconsin. So it's more of a continuation of that ACC Big Ten challenge that they have every year. And UNC has enough big men in that front court to kind of slow Frank the Tank down. So I think that's going to be really interesting. Arizona and Xavier with Miller coaching against his old team, Xavier. I wonder if there will be any animosity there, even though some of those players weren't there when he left to go from Xavier to Arizona. I'm sure they want to show him, hey, Xavier's still a good job and you shouldn't have left us. So I'm looking forward to that one as well. And then the one in the South, I think Duke will beat Utah. But I like the UCLA-Gonzaga matchup, a kind of old-school West Coast power against a new-school West Coast power. So that adds a little level of intrigue there as well.
And Gonzaga and Duke, if both of those two teams advance, I think that's going to be a really good matchup as well. And Gonzaga has some size, even though I think Jahlil Okafor is the most gifted big man in the country. Gonzaga has some size that it can counter, so that would be an intriguing matchup as well.
Absolutely.
Good
Absolutely.
Calls, guys. And I got to tell you, isn't it interesting that there's a couple teams that we did not expect to Robbie Hill, you nailed it right on the head with Louisville. We didn't expect Louisville to get out because they had struggles offensively, and they surprised us. I know we were surprised as well regarding obviously Villanova. There's a couple squads we didn't expect things to happen. I got to say, too, I'm actually surprised about UCLA. A couple of weeks ago, no one even expected them to be in the tournament. They got beat by like 40-something points earlier in the year, and everyone's like, they're not a contender for the Big Dance, and yet still they made it. And Tony Parker's been kind of a nice surprise. So they've definitely silenced a lot of critics as well. Couple things I do want to touch point on. There's some schools that it's funny, JQ, you're talking about some old school. Gonzaga, sometimes I didn't trust them, man, because before they used to always – have this reputation of being a giant killer, then you kind of go with them, then they would lose. And so I didn't think they were going to go that far. So that was a nice surprise. Same thing like Michigan State, man. I thought this was a year that, Tom Izzo wouldn't get far, but yet still he always surprises us. There's schools
Found
like
the way.
Kansas that always – yeah, there's schools like Kansas that always seem to reach that breaking point. They have all these high hopes, and they seem to crash and burn. I didn't expect them to go too far. And, Wichita State – they don't play Wichita State, and they just really once again prove that they just have a formula too. So it's good matches all around, guys. So pretty exciting, man. So I am excited.
Yeah, one more thing.
Everything.
And I know Rob hated it, but NC State making it that far, and they don't even get that far if LSU could just make a free throw. I'm just shocked.
Yeah.
That game being that close, and they end up taking out the number one Villanova team. I mean, I watched that game, and that was. It's amazing how, like we talked about last week with the whole Tyus Edney piece where they had to win that game and they were losing. Then they go on to win a title. And then you look at NC State, coming back from the dead against LSU, and then they go on and knock off the one seed in Villanova. And speaking of Villanova, their struggles continuing, they're the new Arizona where they just can't get out the first weekend. It's amazing.
Well, it's interesting. I thought the winner of LSU and NC State, I thought the winner of that game had a very strong shot of knocking off Villanova. This Villanova team, they played very well together, but it's definitely not one of Jay Wright's most talented teams. It was just one of those teams that if they play well, they can beat any team in the country on any given night. but their talent level is not as elite as it once was, which means they can lose to any team. So I felt strongly, even though I picked Villanova to win, but I had a gut feeling that LSU or NC State could upset them in the second round. And sure enough, NC State went ahead and did that. You know, but I thought LSU had that same opportunity if they would have advanced as well. But, you know, we'll see NC State, Louisville. That's going to be interesting. But I think you make a very strong point about Michigan State. Tom Izzo's teams are always tough as nails. I mean, they rebound, they defend, and they're going to be a tough out in this tournament. So that region right now is a toss-up, in my opinion, between those four teams. But, you know, I think you make a strong point for Michigan State. I can easily see them advancing as well.
Yep. You got to earn it. You got to earn it. And surprisingly, if Lon Kruger does that, wouldn't he be like the first coach to get like four different schools in that? Man, this is an amazing stat too as well for Lon Kruger.
Yeah, you don't put him in that pantheon of coaches. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very surprising. One thing I want to touch on too, another surprise, this is just me, guys. Surprise to see Notre Dame kind of pull things off too. I know they were ranked as a third seed, but I just didn't think they had enough there. They surprised me, really gutty win against Butler. And then finally, the darling of the tournament, Buffalo, didn't pull it off against the Mounties. So, you know, Bobby Miller may be a little upset about that, but they were the darling. They could pull it off. You know, it was a pretty good effort against a very, very focused West Virginia team, guys.
Yeah.
Good deal. I was waiting for Rob to wrap it up. Man, that was a lot of talk about our preview as far as the Sweet 16. I do want to talk about this. This is an interesting report. I don't know if you heard about this, JQ. John Calipari wants to coach in the NBA again. I'm going to let you touch on this, Rob. I mean, do you think this is just him putting Steelers out? Is this legitimate or just a rumor? Or is he just trying to, like, just make the Kentucky folks, you know, kind of give him some more money, Rob?
Well, I think he's got a good thing going there in Kentucky. I think he'd be kind of crazy to leave it. And that's just my opinion. You know, the way he's recruiting there, the way he's selling that program, you know, I think he's doing you know, it's not easy to get all of these talented recruits and coach them to this level. So I think one of the things that, you know, I think people are taking advantage of is they're saying he's a great recruiter and he's got great talent, but he's not getting enough credit for his coaching job that he's doing, in my opinion. And to get all of these All-Americans to come on board and get on the same page, to buy into the program, to go in and night out and play defense and not be me first, I think he's doing a phenomenal job from a coaching standpoint. You know, obviously we know how well he can recruit, but he's just not getting, in my opinion, not getting enough credit for how well he's doing as far as a coaching, from a coaching standpoint. I mean, you look at last year's team that made it to the championship game. I believe Kentucky was a 6 or 7 seed. And, of course, you know, a few years back, they made it with another ultra-talented squad, Anthony Davis, Michael Kidd, Gilchrist. And, I mean, they were just loaded with talent. But to be able to coach all those guys and buy into it, in my opinion, is not easy. He's not getting enough credit for his coaching, but I think he'd be stupid to leave Kentucky. That's just my personal opinion.
JQ.
And I would totally agree with that. I liken it to Nick Saban in Alabama with Alabama football. He's basically got a factory. So to go to the NBA, and unless you're getting full, you know, management control and everything over personnel like he has at Kentucky, why would you want to leave that? And he has a system. You know, unless he's reading the tea leaves or he knows something where they're going to change the rule where you can go straight out of high school or you have to be there for 2 or 3 years, that he wants to then make the jump because then his formula is not going to be as successful. Anything outside of that, I can't really understand why he would want to leave. I mean, Kentucky is to, you know, college basketball that Alabama football is to college football. So you're talking about premier programs where you can write your own ticket and be a god. Why would you leave that?
Yeah, and good point, Rob, too, because I think that's something that's very underrated that you mentioned as far as him being a good coach because, yeah, it is pretty tough to get all these All-Americans and you know, have that factory, like you said, JQ. So, yeah, right now I wouldn't – you know, you're sitting on a nice little gold mine. Just keep it going, you know, unless you think that you're going to have some type of sanctions coming down and you want to, like, you know, leave or something like that. You know,
right.
I would stay right where I am, and I know we didn't really touch on Jim Boeheim at Syracuse, but – yeah, man, it's just an interesting scenario. So keep it going. Good points. I want to make a huge call about this in the next point, too, after we get about the ACC, but talking about the Fab Five, and, you know, and right now it seems like Kentucky is the only one that's close to bringing that similar to that Fab Five class, too. But real quick, Rob, and, well, I guess we'll start with JQ. Is ACC back to being the best basketball conference, in your opinion?
I don't think they ever left. I don't, and I'm a Big Ten guy from Ohio. So, but if you're talking about your memories,
we started to hear that.
When you see the, hey, watch out, now national champs. When you talk about year in, year out, and the level of the quality and the depth from top to bottom, there are other conferences that may have a top-tier school or maybe two that go from year to year. But when you talk about from your top team to your eighth team, the ACC depth has always been phenomenal. And then you add in a Notre Dame into that mix. I don't really think they ever left. I think it just has been a little bit more dominant this year, of course, having five teams in the Sweet 16. But I always thought they were the best basketball conference, and I just don't see that really changing. I mean, who would you give that mantle to?
Yeah, good job. Rob, what do you think, sir?
Well, for the most part, I agree with JQ. I think briefly the Big East took over as the best basketball conference when they had Louisville, when they had Connecticut, when they had that huge mega conference, when they had Cincinnati, when they had Georgetown, St. John's. But now since the conference is split up, you know, Syracuse is going out of the Big East. Louisville is going out of the Big East, and they've gone into the ACC. UConn is not in the Big East anymore. And so the conference has been broken up tremendously. So I think for a 2 to 5 year period, you could have made the case that the Big East was the best basketball conference when they had that mega conference with about 16 teams, and they were all very strong basketball programs. But prior to that, the ACC was the best. And now that I think now since the Big East is all broken up, I think the ACC has reclaimed that title as being the best basketball conference, definitely with the additions of Syracuse, with the additions of Louisville. And, you know, they're definitely back on top when it comes to college hoops.
And I'll give you that. I mean, they were throwing just sheer numbers, a numbers game at it. But I still think about through the years where you have Duke, you have North Carolina, you have Maryland, you have those Chris Paul Wake Forest teams. You know, NC State is generally good year in, year out. I just think from a top to bottom, year in, year out, you know, not necessarily always being top heavy, but just the quality and the depth that they have, I still think the ACC was there. But I'll give you that. The Big East was, if they weren't number one, they were number two, or it was a 1A, 1B kind of scenario. But I, for me, growing up and still watching the games, I think the ACC is the best basketball conference.
Yeah, historically, definitely, by far. Definitely, there's no question about it.
I agree with JQ. The ACC never left. Speaking of dating ourselves, right, this has been pretty interesting regarding the Fab Five, right? And I just remember whenever they were in Michigan, I mean, everyone wanted to be like the, you know, they kind of brought a little swagger and whatnot. And just the way that that team was constructed was amazing. And I guess the question is, do you ever think there's going to be another five Fab class out there, Fab Five, excuse me? And I'm not just talking about just, you know, the talent that they had, but also the way they came in as freshmen, they were just, they all started, they all did their thing. I know we've got Kentucky's closest thing right now to that. And then is there going to be another Fab Five that kind of like changes the face of college basketball, if you will? And also right now, what does it take to win? Does it have to take having, you know, a team like Kentucky to win, having five guys, or can you get away with one or two guys in this one and done era? So I'm going to start with you, Rob. What do you think about that, sir? Both of those questions.
Well, to the Fab, to answer the question with the Fab Five, I'm going to say yes and no. From a talent level, we will, and you probably can even make a case for a few years ago with Kentucky when they won a national title with those five freshmen, with Anthony Davis, Gilchrist, and in that game. And they actually won the national championship with five freshmen. Of course, Michigan was runner-up. From a talent standpoint, yes, we have seen a Fab Five just as talented, and we probably will see it again as well. But from a transcending culture standpoint, I don't think we'll ever see somebody that had the impact on you know, on teenagers, on college kids, like that Michigan. When they came out with the baggy shorts, everybody wanted to wear the baggy shorts. They were just
absolutely
very black influential.
And the black
The black socks, and now Nike selling black socks. I mean, they transcended the game when it came to fashion, culture. There was just so many things that they did. So, like I said, I'm gonna say yes and no to that. Yes, from a talent standpoint, but no to the way they just transcended the game and everybody wanted to be like them and things of that nature. I don't think we'll ever see that again in college basketball, in my opinion. And then the answer to your next question, do you have to have one-and-done players to win the national championship? And I'm going to say no. You can still do it. You look at the way Connecticut won last year with a veteran late in squad. I think every now and again, if you get a team that's been together for a while, you look at that Wichita State group last year, even though they didn't win the title, they went undefeated with a veteran late in roster for a bunch of juniors and seniors. I still think you can do it with a team that's been together for a while from a chemistry standpoint. But if you get an ultra-talented team, like that Kentucky team was a few years ago, maybe even this Kentucky team this year, that's young but extremely talented. So I think you can get it done both ways. I don't think you have to get it done with one-and-done players. I think you can still get it done as far as winning the national championship both ways in today's game. And even Louisville a few years ago, that was a very veteran-laden roster that won the title for Rick Pitino as well.
Yeah, with Russ and Smith on the receiver.
Go ahead.
I would agree with all of that, and I want to add one note to the Fab Five. Even with the shorts and the socks, you also have to remember that in that time when you had hip-hop really starting to come into its own, and they embraced that hip-hop culture where they were, you know, wearing the headphones and listening to Public Enemy and Ice Cube and all that good stuff, and people were asking what they're listening to, so they were able to help bring that era in as well. So I think from a talent standpoint, like Rob said, you could do that. But just they were coming with a talent standpoint as such a turning point for us as a culture that mashup, you know, coming together at the same time, I don't know if you'll ever be able to have that unless we have another kind of cultural revolution, so to speak, whether it's through music or fashion or, you know, any of those other mechanisms that could bring that about. So I would agree with him on that. And also on the one-and-done era, you know, you look at a team like Butler that went to what, back-to-back championship games with a very veteran-laden team and didn't have to have the one-and-dones. And, you know, you talk about a couple of players from being, what, back-to-back national champions in Butler. You don't have to have that level of having all high school All-Americans, you know, McDonald's All-Americans to win it all. But it doesn't hurt to have it. But I think you can do it a multitude of ways.
Coaches out there, hope you're paying attention to our show. We're giving you the formula right here on how to be successful. I gotta say too, this is my last thing too, which I think is pretty interesting. And you know, I really should have added this to the topics, Rob. And thinking, I think also with the Fab Five, I mean, they were just so unique because I don't know why everybody hated Duke, but they were just like just on fire. And then they were like, man, we're gonna go against Duke, and you know, and it wasn't because Duke was good or whatever, but they were recruited by Duke or, you know, whatever. They just, like, took it to anyone. They just didn't care. And we were, like, we just embraced that, which was it was awesome to see. And if you were, like, a youth, especially an urban youth, you know, like, man, it's kind of cool. You actually, like you said, JQ, man, you were just, like, going for the culture and the hip-hop. And there was just something about them that just transcended that particular time, too, man. So it was a great time, to say the least, for sure.
Yeah, and just one side point. Yeah, like you said, they were the anti-Duke, and I think that's another reason why we all also embraced those UNLV teams, because, you know, they were really the running rebels, and they were the antithesis of what we had in Duke, and it gave you, you know, that bad guy, so to speak, to cheer for. But it wasn't necessarily a bad guy for us. It more represented what we were seeing every day in our lives, and, you know, when we went to the park, we played that way, and those were the kind of guys we went to school with. So, you know, it was that piece, too. So I think, you know, you have that, like I said, you had that perfect storm, so to speak, of that school that's held up that everybody wants to tear down, and they respect them, but they don't like them. But it gave us an alternate team that was equally as talented to root for.
Why do we hate Duke so much? We're going to have to talk about that next week, too, guys. That's just a whole other conversation, too. But Man. All right, we're going to switch gears here. We got about 5 minutes left. We are just having too much fun. I'm going to start with Rob because word on the street is that Drew Brees and some trade rumors, and Rob is going to play it cool, like, hey, nothing happening. But you know, in the back of his mind, he was kind of a little trembling after they got rid of Jimmy Graham. But I'm sure he's going to deflect it. He's going to deflect the same there's no way they're getting traded. But you know, in the back of his mind, he's like, what? So go ahead, Rob. Go ahead.
Well, you know, when I first heard of this report from New York with the sports writer saying that Drew Brees and Philip Rivers will be great fits for the New York Jets, when I first read it, I thought it was just a guy that was just had some wishful thinking in New York of them getting a quarterback, and that's all it basically is. NFL owners meetings this week, both Mickey Loomis and Sean Payton immediately shot down those rumors and said there's no percent of a chance of Drew Brees being traded, and so. All it is was a hopeful New York sports writer, and now everybody thinks Drew Brees is on a trading block and that the Saints want to trade up in the draft and get Marcus Mariota. Both are false. Drew Brees is not going to get traded. Saints will not trade up to get Marcus Mariota in the draft. Mm-hmm. So there you have it. For those of you all that are listening and care.
Yeah, that was always crazy talk. This is a quarterback-driven league, and you're not going to trade away a multiple Pro Bowler, a Super Bowl-winning quarterback, just to say because we're getting ready to rebuild, and you're not going to trade the house away to move up to go get Mariota. So, like Rob said, this is the silly season where they don't have much to talk about yet. You know, we're past the combine, but we're not to the draft yet. So you got to, you know, got to sell some newspapers. You got to get some clicks on your website. So you put silly stuff out there to see if it'll stick and drive traffic to your website. I think that's ridiculous. There's no way. New Orleans. I mean, Drew Brees would have to just walk into the office and moon everybody and just start spitting on people, you know, in order to get traded. I mean, it would have to be so ridiculous, his actions, to get traded that you, like, where everybody would say, yeah, you got to trade Drew Brees because he's lost his mind. Anything short of that.
And
all the moves that the Saints have made this offseason have been to please Drew Brees so far. So he's very involved and everything that's taking place. So there's no part of him that's going to get traded.
Everyone was kind of scared. They were thinking that Sean Payton was channeling his inner Mike Ditka about to trade the whole draft. But, you know, everyone's good. Everybody.
Sean Payton's a little bit smaller
relax.
Than Mike Ditka.
Yeah, R-E-L-A-X.
Relax, right? Oh, man, we guys were having a good time. 2 minutes in the show, Rob. You can go ahead and wrap this up as we get ready to end this March 25th edition of Talking Sports. Go ahead, sir.
Man, feel like we're just getting started. Our time flies when you're having fun. And we got to find a way to enlarge our show a little bit here, America, for you. We have so much more we can add and so much more information that we can give to you all. But we certainly appreciate you all tuning in for this brief 30-minute live portion Talking Sports. We do have an overtime portion that's coming up. It's going to be 15 minutes. We can't give you this portion live, unfortunately, but tune in on tomorrow. Click on the same link when you get an opportunity. We're still talking more NFL. We're still talking NFL draft. You want to see what your team is going to be doing in the draft. We still got NBA. We're going to try to squeeze in as much of that as possible here in this OT portion, so you don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss our show on next week. We should be back to Tuesday night on next week, so you don't want to miss it. 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, that's 8 p.m. Pacific. And for our friends in Hawaii, aloha, that's going to be 5
aloha.
P.m. on Tuesday. You don't want to miss it, people. Good night, America.
JQ, you want to say anything else, sir, as we get ready to sign off?
Yes, sir. It's right in the Blog Talk Radio. Tell them we need more time. We need more time.
We got it. Yeah, that's what it's all about. You know, I think we're kind of getting our groove, guys. You know, we're like this little three-man format, like a three-man booth here, but we're enjoying that. So, as always, we appreciate you guys listening in. Don't forget, as Rob said, click on the link. You know, don't forget to check out the OT portion. You can't listen to it live, but we always appreciate that feedback. And keep it coming. We'll definitely get our next mock draft out there. and it's what it's all about. So we will get ready to lock this up. The live portion is ending, and we are jumping into the OT portion. And just to kind of like wet the whistle, let's talk about the Eagles. I got an Eagles fan, everybody. He's kind of pulling out his hair, and he's happy, and he's not happy. He's kind of like Jekyll and Hyde with all the moves about Chip Kelly. And I guess the question is, I was making jokes that Chip Kelly is secretly a Dallas Cowboys fan, but, I don't know. Is he building the Eagles the right way is the question. Is Marcus Mariota going to go to the Eagles, you know, no matter what you're hearing? So let's kind of open it up, guys. Rob, do you think Chip Kelly is building the Eagles the right way, sir?
I tell you what, I mean, it's still very questionable to me. The two moves that is a mind-blowing to me the most, number one, trading Nick Foles for an off-injured quarterback in Sam Bradford. To me, that's just unbelievable. I don't get that trade. I still do not get that trade. I know Sam Bradford was the number one pick coming out of college. We've yet to see that in the NFL, the way he's been injured quite a bit in his career. I just don't understand that trade. I do not understand letting Jeremy Maclin walk for nothing in return. And I question those two moves, even with letting, with trading LeSean McCoy for Alonzo. But you do wind up getting DeMarco Murray in return. But the trade for Nick Foles for Sam Bradford and letting Jeremy Maclin walk, and now your number one receiver is Riley Cooper, I just don't get those two. Those are the two that's just mind blowing to me.
There's a young guy named Matthews that may come in too, but you know, I agree.
Well, Jordan Matthews, yeah, he's a big receiver. Yeah. I forgive me on that one. Yeah, he would definitely be the number one receiver over Riley Cooper.
I'm just saying, JQ, what do you think about this? Is Chip Kelly building the team the right way over there?
I agree with Rob. Those moves are baffling. You trade your All-Pro running back who just led the league in rushing 2 years ago, and you knew you had offensive line issues at the beginning of last year, which affected his running, and you trade him for a linebacker that has not played in the year because he, you know, has blown out an ACL, so you don't really know what you're getting back in him, but you know what you have in McCoy. But and then to offset that, you sign two running backs in Murray and Ryan Matthews to replace the one guy that you had. So I don't understand that. The Maclin one, I don't understand it, but if a guy doesn't want to stay there, even if you franchise him, then you basically just have a bridge year, and you still don't know if you're going to be able to sign him long-term. If he doesn't want to be there, you can't necessarily keep him. So maybe you should try to sign him like the Saints did to Graham and then trade him, but I don't understand that one either. And then I'm also hearing they're talking about getting Evan Mathis, who I think graded out as like the number five guard last year, and they're trying to trade him and or will cut him this offseason. So he definitely has a personality and a player that he wants in the building to suit up for him, and I guess what we're seeing is those players that are getting shipped out or are being let go don't fit the mold, but this is all good talk in March. If he wins come September, October, November, then
that's all
he
that
will
matters,
be going the right way. So we can't. I think the jury is still out necessarily on whether or not he's doing it because the proof will be in the pudding. That only comes in wins and losses.
True indeed, guys. And plus, you got to question him because he brought in Tim Tebow for the workout. I don't know how that happened, man. So, you know, you got to question
come on, Dre.
See that, huh? Did I tell you that last week? He's got a man crush on Tim Tebow. Name has to come up every show.
I just got to figure out ways to keep it in the show, man.
Not even in our topics, America.
But he brought him in.
Didn't even sign him to a contract.
I just like to ask people. I like to figure out that for Rob. Hey, man, Lovie Smith, man, has officially signed up on the Bucks, picking Jameis Winston. Was this a big surprise? I doubt it. JQ, what do you think about this, sir?
Well, you know, not to toot my own horn, but beat, you know, a couple of weeks ago I told you when Derek Brooks came out and said, if you draft this guy, I will personally mentor him. He's a Bucks legend. You talk about Winston being the most pro-ready quarterback in the draft. He went to Florida State. You already have a built-in fan base. So I think him signing off does two things for them. One, he's alerting the fan base and trying to gauge their reaction to make sure that they are with him, and we're going to take Jameis Winston. Do you guys like that? Because let's be honest, if he puts that out there, he gets a lot of backlash. He may back up off of that, but putting this out here and getting the praise of the fan base only reassures him to make that pick. But the second thing is it also lets the other NFL teams know, hey, if you want Winston, he's not going to drop. So if you want to get him, you're going to have to deal with us, and you're going to have to give us some picks and come agree to our terms to come get him. So you have no chance of him dropping either to two so you can deal with Tennessee. You have to deal with us to get to Winston. So I think it serves those two purposes.
But the Jets had a private workout with Jameis Winston. They're going to, like, trade up. I'm just joking here. Rob?
Yeah.
Rob, go ahead, sir. Rob,
it's on you, man. Well, yeah, I totally agree with JQ on this one. I mean, we pretty much said all along that Winston is definitely the clear-cut number one QB in this draft, clear-cut number one player in this draft. And Tampa Bay needs a quarterback. They need someone that can right their ship and turn that franchise around. And he's been. there you go. And so definitely they need a captain for that ship. And he's done extremely well with all the off-season interviews. I think showing off a lot of leadership qualities that a lot of people wasn't aware of, some of the things he was able to do behind the scenes. His knowledge of the game is phenomenal. And knows how to read defense extremely well. I mean, obviously last year he was forced into a lot of mistakes. His offensive line was not as good. He's got to get a little bit better with that. Sometimes you got to eat some of those throws and not try to force the action. And I'm sure Lovie Smith and Tampa will work with him on that. But, you know, he's got all the twos. He's got a rocket for an arm. Not the most mobile quarterback, as you would think, but he can sit there and throw that ball. He'll sit there in the pocket and take a hit, too.
Yeah, but he's quietly elusive. Yeah, but he's quietly elusive. He can get away. He's not a burner, but he knows how to get away to buy time to throw the ball.
He'll buy
Yeah. What I liked is the fact that he went out and sought out Roger Goodell to meet him on his own terms to tell him his story so that, you know, he would know entering the league, hey, Goodell, this is who I am. You've heard these things about me. Let me come be with you face-to-face and tell you what I'm doing and what I've been through and what I would be for the NFL. I thought that was a great move. I don't know if that was him or his PR team, but either way, it was a fantastic decision.
Absolutely.
Doing all the right things is Jameis. He's definitely, you know, we'll see how it plays out. And I'm very curious, guys, to see these two quarterbacks in the league, too. We'll wrap this up. We'll talk about our thoughts as far as if they're going to be successful. We always did this. We did this last year, JQ. As far as predicting who would be good in the league. I know we did it, and me and Robert were pretty much on point about Johnny Manziel, believe it or not. So we're going to do the same thing coming into the season as far as our predictions, as far as these top two quarterbacks. There's always one or two. I like what you said real quick as far as how putting it out there to the fan base and kind of, you know, saying, hey, this is what's going to happen, because eventually you're going to have to get on board. I never forget this. A couple years ago, Rob, we were going back and forth whenever the Falcons were supposed to draft, it was Matt Ryan and Glenn Dorsey, right? And Rob kept calling me, he's like, Dre, I'm going to tell you, they're doing drafting Matt Ryan. And I was like, no, I was fighting it. And I was like, all right, we're going to draft Matt Ryan. Because I really wanted Glenn Dorsey. Now, granted, I was messed up at the time because I just thought that was the better. He's a more dominant player. And I was like, all right, I kind of like warmed up to it because that's what was out there. That's what happened. You know, so that's probably what they're doing. They're just going to say, hey, this is it. You're going to have to get on board with it. Come aboard, and, you know, it is what it is, right? You know, you remember that, Rob?
Absolutely. I definitely recall that conversation.
I know he's a Dorsey fan.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't pushing him. It was just interesting because at that time I was just like, I don't know. Cause I thought, you know, Matt threw a lot of interceptions, so I just didn't know if he was, you know, the guy, you know, but I just felt, you know, defensively we needed somebody that was more dominant. But it was the right decision, clearly, and he's telling me, Dre, this is what's going to happen, and I was fighting him. I'm like, all right, fine. I just kind of gave up and, you know, kind of eventually used my anxieties there. And, you know, this is what happened. And, you know, hey, we're here right now. So it's good.
I might go get that number two jersey after all.
Yeah, it's all good. I do want to – we've got about 6 minutes. I don't want to – I want to save Rob the first-round mock for next week. I do want to talk about real quick. I want to talk about Adrian Peterson. I want to talk about, you know, Kevin Love, if you will. As well. But real quick, guys, you know, there's been some animosity with Adrian Peterson. The question is, if somebody said, guys, Adrian Peterson's going to play with the Vikings this year. Is that a true or false statement? And if not, where do you think he's going to play? Because I've heard about there's five teams. I've heard about the Cowboys. I've heard about the Raiders. I've heard about Tampa Bay, surprisingly. And also I heard, I think it was Jacksonville. So there's a couple teams that are out there real quick.
And Arizona.
In Arizona, thank you. So some are money places, some may be good fits. JQ, what do you think? I'm going to let you kind of start off with this and just, you know, keep it brief here. We've got about 5 minutes left in the show here.
Okay, so briefly, I think that a team at this point is going to have to blow Minnesota away. From what I've been reading, they've kind of dug their heels in and said, hey, we're not trading you. You're under contract to 2017. And they're going to call his bluff. Are you really going to sit out another year to voice your displeasure about what we did or did not support you through your whole ordeal? So he has no leverage. So I think I can't say if he's going to play for the Vikings. I think he might now, given the way the Vikings have come out, unless somebody makes him a godfather offer for him.
Mm. Rob, what you think, sir?
I agree. I think he's with the Vikings next year. I mean, there was a time I thought he wouldn't be there, but I think the Vikings are holding their ground here. and I can't see him playing anywhere else this upcoming football season. So I see him in a Minnesota Viking uniform.
Mm-hmm.
I see. Real good. All right, let's talk about this is a quiet thing. I'm going to slip that in there. Steve Nash retiring. Wow, what an end of an era. I know he's pretty controversial, but just I got to give him props because that dude was amazing to me. So, I mean, he was kind of an MVP at a smaller size. But I'm going to let you guys mention that real quick. But I do want to talk about Kevin Love and LeBron. Do they need to be best of friends for the Cavs, the dominant East? I'm going to say they don't want to be best friends, but it's going to cause a problem. That's why they're not going to win the championship. Rob Ford, on you, sir.
I disagree. I don't think you saw Shaq and Kobe not be best of friends for a long time and was able to go out there and perform and win championships together. So I'm going to say they can win as long as they're, you know, playing together on the floor. I don't think they have to be best of friends off the court. And I think they definitely can win under their current relationship, under their current situation. With them not being best of friends, I still think they can win an NBA title.
Yeah, and to jump in that, I agree with that. I think the biggest thing that we need to discuss is will Kevin Love be healthy, because his back has been really causing problems, and he's missing some of that valuable on-court chemistry time. And I think I think he's just going through an adjustment. He's used to being the man on the bad team and getting his touches, getting his points, getting his rebounds. Now you have LeBron and Kyrie there, and he's kind of have that Chris Bosh syndrome where he has to find his way to fit in and figure out what works best for him. And granted, they need to find a way to get him the ball in the post a little bit more and not just let him be, you know, a stretch four. But I think that just takes time, and he's going to have to get his mind around, do I need to be the best player on a mediocre team, or can I be somebody that can share the spotlight on a championship team? So that's going to be more on him mentally, and he's got to get his back together, because without his back being together, they don't have a chance, I don't think. Because when you play a seven-game series against a team and they figure out all your weaknesses and they know every set that you're going to run before you run it, they're going to need him out there playing at his best.
Well, yeah, win the championship, all this is going to be quiet. I mean, there's going to be no doubt that they're going to stick together for the long haul, especially if they win the championship this coming season. All of this would be squash. You know, another thing you mentioned, Kevin Love and his injury situation too. Even when Kevin Love is healthy, he's not the defensive player that Chris Bosh is. And so I think that's the one thing that LeBron James is missing. You know, but Kevin Love, when healthy, is a better offensive player than Chris Bosh.
Yep.
So it's it's a little bit of a trade-off. But Bosh, you know, extremely well on rotating on defense. He's got long arms, a little bit more athletic, well, a lot more athletic, I should say, than Kevin Love. And so he's a much better defender, which helps, which helped him out a lot, was able to help him to gamble a little bit more on defense in Miami. And but now we're getting Timothy Mozgov now. They're able to play a little bit better. And I actually think Cleveland can still be very competitive, as long as LeBron and Kyrie Irving are healthy. I think the rest of their supporting cast is actually really good now, and they can still make a run even without a healthy Kevin Love.
They don't have to be. This is my last point because we got a minute left here. I agree they don't have to be best friends on the court, but I think chemistry has to be there, like both you guys said. But before the show cuts off, guys, great show. A lot of love. See us next week, as Rob said, next Tuesday. As JQ said, follow us, all that good jazz. I don't want it to cut off again, but enjoy it. Enjoy it, fellas. Hope you guys had a good time talking sports 12 minutes, as always. Any last thoughts?
Absolutely.
Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, people.
Good night.